Don't drink whiskey, you twat, you're a cat. And as the music fades, we are back once more at the Unsalted Popcorn Podcast Hall of Fame Home Office Special Lockdown Spectacular 3, Lockdown 4, Lockdowner. Don't all die at once. It's COVID. It's fine. It's not real. Wear a mask. I think that covered everything in the last government message, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, no, I think about
it. Yeah. That's all right then. And the first person to respond, who clearly is champing at the bit to be heard by an audience for the first time in 3.5 years, it's Laura Monmouth, who now doesn't say anything.
And I just need to remind you, Laura, that this is a medium that you probably need to be a bit more vocal.
Oh, yes, sorry, I do forget that quite often, don't I?
Weathering stairs don't work.
Well, I don't know, they still scare me, and I'm at some distance now. But yes, I like the fact that the enigmatic approach works wonders on stage. But when it's an entirely audio medium, I the occasional word helps.
You make it sound like I used to stand there on stage for like 3 minutes saying nothing.
To be fair, that was the case. There was that one occasion when that was the case, but that was because some twat was supposed to press a button and he'd wandered off. I forget who that was. The person pointing out the bloody obvious over on the other side of the room is, of course, the lovely John Crothers.
Oh.
And hiding there in the corner with, oh, she's got her ears on. It's Morgan.
Hello.
Is it really considered hiding when Morgan is closer to the camera than John is?
That's true.
My eyesight's not great, so I can see things further away, but not close to.
Morgan was actually going to do a lot of there, and she was just going to be completely silent, and then she thought better of it. But hello. I can tell that that's what the plan was. Yeah. But because she's part of that generation, you know, to Morgan, she stood there silently for 3 minutes, but in like real adult terms, it was like about 5 seconds. this has been an eternity.
Oh, bless her. Now, to be fair, we haven't heard from Morgan in a while. Did you have a good Christmas, Morgan? There we go, that's that sorted.
Did you get everything you wanted?
Ooh.
Definitely.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for a no with them, just to
shame. I really wanted a no. I thought that no would have been hilarious.
I'm bloody surprised.
I mean, that's not as much as it.
All right, sorry.
Is that because you only asked for things you knew what you were going to get? Or is it because Daddy got hold of the list first and stripped it down to 3 things? Yeah, it was that one. Right, here we go.
I'm a bit annoyed that Apple didn't come through due to the sponsorship deal that they've clearly got with this show. With that.
Apple, give us iPhone 12 because we're mentioning you on this.
Yeah, you know, we have. Apple sales have gone up quite significantly this year, and I think it has been down to this podcast.
Mm. Oh, yeah, of course. No other contributory factors whatsoever. It was just the fact that we started doing this.
Yep, but to be fair,
we started doing this because we had a lot of free time for no reason whatsoever, which would also be classed as a contributory reason, but that's not the reason why.
No, definitely not. I mean, to be fair, no one had heard of Big Finish before we started doing this. And now look at
that
them.
That is true. That is very true.
Oh. I appreciate we've lambasted Laura for this being an audio medium and silence and visual things don't necessarily work, but I am just going to say I really like your earrings.
Nice ones.
Yeah, they're cool.
Custom made. Apparently, I just received them in a package for Christmas.
Luigi from Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah, they're cool. They're really cool. They wouldn't be a Down the Rabbit Hole product, would they?
No.
Oh. That does seem like a Down the Rabbit Hole kind of thing, but fair enough, with someone else.
No, they were custom made by someone just starting up, I think, an Etsy shop.
Ah, cool, nice one.
Mm.
Right, so, can anyone remember how far we'd got and where we were up to?
We just got to the, we'd had the faux regeneration, then we'd had a proper regeneration. Then we skipped out a really shit episode.
Could you narrow that one down?
Yeah, I can. Pirates.
Oh, yeah, we forgot the Pirates. That was it. We skipped Pirates.
We're skipping Pirates.
We watched Muppet Treasure Island just as a kind of pirate bridging between. We just thought we need a filler pirates. We watched Muppet Treasure Island.
Well, I think to myself, that's not going to make any sense. But when they do that whole, here's all the characters you remember from that series thing, and a good man, is it A Good Man Goes to War?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where that happens, I'm looking forward to Kermit appearing. I'm really looking forward to that episode now.
To be honest, I quite liked how they managed to turn Animal into a Dalek. Oh, that was quite clever. I'm not a fan of Muppet Treasure Island. As anyone who's met me more than 5 minutes will know, I'm a massive Muppets fan. But Muppet Treasure Island just doesn't quite do it for me.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
No, okay, I'm going to have to rewatch that on the... Morgan, you've seen more than one Muppet film, presumably.
Yes.
You've been very low-key today, huh?
This is... I know, let's not knock it. The monosyllabic Morgan is a selling point. How do you rate Muppet Treasure Island amongst the other Muppet films you've seen?
I quite like...
You mean I think she means the Muppet movie with the guy from How I Met Your Mother?
Yes, the rebooted Muppet movie.
That one, the one that's got, it's got what's his name in as well, hasn't it? Jim Parsons, that one.
Yes, Man on Muppet.
That's the one.
Yeah.
The one that's
is an
8 2/4.
We recently watched A Muppet Christmas Carol, which is good, but I prefer Muppet Treasure Island.
I actually only ever saw Muppet Christmas Carol for the first time like two or 3 years ago. I've never seen it before.
How are you two even remotely my friends?
No.
It's the rule.
I have seen more episodes of Fraggle Rock than I have of the actual Muppets. That's true.
I've seen all the Muppet films.
Yeah, but you don't think the Christmas Carol's the best one, so you can't be my friend.
Christmas Carol is slightly beaten by Treasure Island, in my opinion.
You're wrong. I can't even remember Treasure Island, but you're wrong.
I'm not sure I can be wrong from a subjective opinion, but... No.
Because we live in a post-truth world. You're wrong.
I feel it's not fair because Laura's not seen Muppet Treasure Island, so I'll just give you a quick overview of it. It's like Treasure Island, but there's Muppets in it.
Don't ruin it.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
You've caught the vibe now.
Okay, so...
I mean, it's like the old the thing that's been going around again on Facebook, the whole idea of take a film, keep one actor from that film, and the rest are all replaced by Muppets. It's that.
Yeah.
We should do that with Doctor Who episodes.
Can you have Kermit playing the Doctor in a Sylvester McCoy episode?
Yes.
That's black.
With Miss Piggy as Ace.
I would accept Miss Piggy as Ace, but I wouldn't accept Kermit as Sylvester McCoy.
Oh, do you know what would be Ace? Any episode with the Brigadier in, the Brigadier is still the Brigadier.
And everything else is Muppet. That would be amazing.
Else is a Muppet.
That would be absolutely amazing. I love that.
Some kind of weird Lethbridge Stewart fever dream. It would be awesome.
I would be all over that. That would be absolutely amazing. Right, on that note. As I think we managed to get our way back round to the Doctor's Wife, we'll probably bring up the episode Praxeas later on. We are watching tonight The Doctor's Wife, which I'm reliably informed is by following a Time Lord distress signal, the Doctor endangers Amy, Rory and the TARDIS, which could really be any episode in this season.
More importantly, Neil Gaiman.
Is this a Neil Gaiman episode?
Exactly that, John.
Yes.
It's the good Neil Gaiman episode.
I still haven't forgiven him for Stardust. That's a book I never...
Stardust is fine if you take it for what it is, which is an enjoyable 2-hour... It's ridiculous. It attempted to be the Princess Bride Mark II and failed, but it's fine.
But have you read the book?
Yes. Why is John echoing?
Because both of him have read the book.
Okay, fine.
because there's a bit in the book that I just didn't feel was suitable for a young adult audience, and I couldn't read it. I couldn't read it after that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that when you've read the book, you go, "How can they make a kids' film out of this?"
But it's a young adult's book. That's the other problem I had with it. It's like, if it's a 20 plus or 18 plus whatever, even 16 plus, fine. But 12, 13 year olds reading that, I wouldn't be totally comfortable.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. So Neil Gaiman stars in The Doctor's Wife, in which he blows up the TARDIS and has to fly to Scotland to get away from his wife.
Starring Muppets.
I think that's everything you need to know about this episode.
Hang on, is it The Doctor's Wife? I thought it was The Doctor's Wi-Fi. Shit.
Well, the Doctor's Wi-Fi is shit because he can never stay close enough to a router. Right, are we sitting comfortably, children?
We are.
Morgan, you didn't have to think about that one. Do we feel we are ready to begin?
Yes.
And so, as 2021 burns quietly in the background, let us get our latest lockdown adventure underway with The Doctor's Wife, as ever, dear listener, on the Unsalted Popcorn Director's Commentary Podcast Blu-ray special.
Well done.
What's that?
Well done.
Don't mention it. Anytime. Someone's naked bottom has just appeared on Nature Watch. Where was I? Yes. So, as ever, when we press play, you press play, and then...
Was it John Craven?
That'd be so much better. You know what he's like. Oh, before we go into this, a quick aside. It has been brought to my attention by our listener that in Blink, we paused it and went back a minute to check something while watching the episode. This has caused some distress because they then couldn't sync it back up to where we were. And it ruined the whole episode for it, or the podcast. It ruined something. I'm guessing the episode, because you can't ruin this podcast. But she felt most put out that we'd paused it and gone back in live time, and she couldn't keep up anymore.
That was the one which was my fault, so I apologise profusely to our listener. It won't happen again.
There you go, listener.
She was very quick in getting back to us on that one as well. Thanks very much.
Look. It's been lockdown. She's been busy.
that would have been Blink from June July.
Yeah, that's okay. The one. Yeah, but she finally got. She's taken a while to catch up. I think she's got things to do. She's busy. Right. So here we go then. Distress signals, danger, The Doctor's Wife, Neil Gaiman, and a Muppet. Are we ready?
Awesome.
As ever, when we press play, you press play, and we talk you through the episode in 3, 2, 1, and go. Ooh, that's a bit of a dark, gothic-y start. I don't remember that.
Yes, it's all very green. In fact, if we can just rewind for a second, I'll show you something.
Oh, I've just remembered this is that one. I've forgotten. This is where you discover she's actually a really good actress.
It's Saranja.
Yeah. So I think at this point, you don't need... hello. Green Ood. At this point, she'd only really done soap stuff, hadn't she?
Yeah.
Favourite soaps, yeah.
Well, soap.
It'd been soap. Singular.
Yeah, well, that's the one. I think she was in Coronation Street for something like 47 years.
Yeah.
She's looking quite good for it.
Hmm.
He's not Ken Barlow.
Yeah, but who is?
William Roach, usually.
For legal reasons, can I just say that's the fascinating and very interesting William Roach.
The fascinating and very interesting William Roach.
Yes, he's not boring at all. Anybody who says that he is will get sued. Of all the things to take litigation against a newspaper for, that. Tedious man.
Yeah.
Anyway, right.
It's not like he had more accusations against him a few years ago, but no, it was the border
one. Yeah, it was the border one that he had issues with. I guess that one could be contested as a matter of opinion. I don't remember Matt's TARDIS being quite so bronze.
Matt Smith's bronze TARDIS.
Yeah, it is until Amy and Rory leave, then he gets a bit of an overhaul.
Yeah.
So yeah, very much this for.
Now, if they had any sense, they'd have retrofitted that to being a kablam joke and tied it all in and kept the fanboys happy. Okay, suddenly, whose episode are we now listening to?
I don't think it's mine.
Not ours.
Oh, what's that? Was that just an explicit reference that Time Lords can change genders? Did we just miss that?
That can't happen. That's not allowed to happen. And they're only allowed to be white men. And English white men at that, by the way.
Well, thank God we've never met the Corsair. There's never been any kind of controversy over such a thing.
I'm liking the fact that the TARDIS is clearly keeping its brake fluid topped up. Do you know, having been away for a little bit and having sort of had Jodie's TARDIS back at Christmas, New Year, I think I like this TARDIS less now.
Didn't really see much of Jodie's TARDIS at Christmas, though, did we? We saw more of the one they found at the end of Series 12.
That's very true.
The kind of classic.
Which is a delightfully spacious TARDIS.
It did kind of remind us, though, that I do think Jodie's interior is a lot cooler.
Mm.
Excuse me.
Well, relatively speaking. This is where Morgan sings along with the theme tune.
Yeah, the singing lessons are paying off, aren't they, Morgan?
You wait till she sticks lyrics in there.
Dumbity-dumbity-dumbity-dumbity-dum.
Some parodies are standard during these.
Yeah. I do still stand, I'm worried that I'm now seeing this every time I watch a Matt Smith episode. I still think that this is my favourite beginning sequence.
I was just thinking that same thing. I really do like this as an intro.
Didn't like it so much the following series where the TARDIS flew back towards the camera and then we had that door thing with the doors open. Didn't like that.
No.
Was that season 7, yeah?
Yeah.
No, this one and I think it's this one, the season 6 one's slightly different than the season 5 one, but I think they're both pretty close and I like them.
Where did they film this? It's very interesting.
They filmed it in another universe. It's a wee pocket universe. It's very difficult.
Otherwise known as Gillingham.
Yeah. Doctor Past, if you ever watched classic Doctor Who, they used to just film in the same quarry every week.
Well, apparently this is a reference to an unearthly child.
Because it's a
junkyard.
Junkyard.
Because it's about discovering TARDIS in a junkyard.
Okay, except that was a very British scrapyard.
What? Yeah, this is a very not British scrapyard. No. I mean, most British scrapyards don't have Saran Jones randomly wandering around them.
Well, you say that. In the late 80s, it was a case where Saran Jones actually had to go around every single scrapyard daily. That was before she became a famous actress. That was her job.
Oh, can you imagine that as a job?
Kept her very, very busy.
Scrapyard Torah.
Yeah. She had to go around and just randomly go hello and kiss strangers in scrapyards.
All by them.
I went to school with a girl like that.
Sadly, I didn't.
For her, it was a job. There was definitely a financial remuneration involved.
It's where a hobby becomes a, it's more of a business interest.
Yeah.
I mean, is it the case with Doctor Who that any time they stick a TARDIS in something vaguely looking like a scrapyard or vaguely close to an East End London school, that that's a callback to... I mean, by that token, then Capaldi was a tribute to the whole of the first Doctor because he was a grumpy old white man.
Yeah. I do think that one of the things that the kind of new Doctor Who has captured quite well is the essence of the classic TARDIS design. Whenever you see the kind of... It happens quite a few times, again, with Jodie. I think they do a good job of making it look new, but also being enough for the kind of classic fans to...
Yeah.
Quite cool.
Well, I don't think the classic fans are still taken to it. I think most of them are still upset.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you see, I think you see a classic TARDIS in the Capaldi era as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it. You know, but it it's really weird. You almost sometimes see it just go, I could actually go for that design again.
Yeah, totally.
They're almost kind of trying to better it every time and make it kind of grander and more. And you're thinking, oh, there's something to be said about.
The simpler TARDIS was often a nicer one.
Yeah.
Out of interest, do you think you can get colour-coded ouds for your room and your mood?
A mood ood.
I think we should look at those and find a way of marketing that. A mood ood, I think, would sell like nobody.
Can I just point out the way that John just said that just reminded me of the old "There's juice looser at this house" advert.
Otherwise known as the Scottish elocution test.
what's going to transpire when we're finished doing all these podcasts? I'm going to publicly declare that I'm not actually Scottish and the whole thing taken off for racism. Fantastic. Cultural appropriation.
Oh, wait,
I can't wait.
If you could do that, we could then stick the links on Parler and it'll go through the fucking roof. I think part of my thinking with this when I watched it first time round was it felt a bit like a Tim Burton episode with Saran Jones playing the part of Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
But Tim Burton was good, which means it's pre-Helena Bonham Carter.
Good point, well made, yes. Oh, well, that's not fair. She's very good in... Nightmare Before Christmas, that's him, isn't it?
He didn't direct it, though.
Ah, that's true. And there's another one, cartoony one, with songs. Corpse Bride
is not very good.
No, but she's fine in it. I think it was some of her finest acting's in that.
Do you know, I think Helena Bonham Carter is actually very good when she's not in a Tim Burton film.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah. And I used to think Tim Burton was the bee's knees, and I think the best film that Tim Burton's made recently didn't have any of the his kind of core cast in it. And it was did anybody watch Big Eyes?
Oh, I still haven't. Oh, yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yeah. That's really good.
I really liked it because it was a bit more low key than we were used to. It feels like Tim Burton tried to go mainstream. I feel, and it was just this kind of quirky, you know, not a tangent to cool.
I think for me, when he started doing, he went down the same route as sort of as Johnny Depp to a point, he said hurriedly for legal reasons, where he's trying to do family movies. And I thought when Bert started doing Alice in Wonderland and stuff, it went horribly, horribly wrong. I mean, for me, personal favourite.
The remake of Charlie.
Yes.
My
personal favourite is still Sweeney Todd, which I know no one likes. And I watched people walk out of the cinema to that. But that I thought he did really well. But then after that, it all kind of went a bit tits up.
The last time I went out of my way to watch a Tim Burton film.
I think the last honest to God one that I liked before Big Eyes was probably Mars Attacks.
I still adore that film. It's not aged well in the fucking slightest.
I forget that's a Tim Burton film. I
still love Mars Attacks. I just think its humour just resonates with me, so.
Yeah, no, it's right up my street. I loved it. Used to watch it religiously.
Mm. It does not age well, though.
I need to go back and watch that again. I haven't seen it in years. I completely forgot it was his film.
Oh, it's very good. It's very good. Do you know? For me, when he probably made his first I feel like we're, again, it's because you brought Tim Burton up to this, and I absolutely catch that vibe. I think his first mistake was remaking Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Yep. I mean, strangely, I don't dislike that version, and Helena Bonham Carter is cute as a knight, has to be said. But
I have two copies of that film on DVD, which I've got from charity shops. Both of them came without the disc. True story.
I mean, in a way, that's arguably a lucky find. Because the worst case scenario would have, you'd have got two copies with the disc in.
I wouldn't have bought the second one. It's just, you know, the odds of picking up and not checking it and just not having the disc inside of the same film.
I think someone somewhere is using a very nifty coaster. But it's, yeah, that just, I did not particularly enjoy that rendition. Not helped, it has to be said, by the fact that when they went and did it all again, they did a far better job up until the third one.
Which basically on the back of the remake of Planet is, I haven't seen any of the other ones. Any of the new ones?
The first new one is really worth watching. The second new one is pretty good. The third new one, they decided to bring in Clyde from Any Which Way You Can.
How can that not win?
And I still don't know how anyone watched that and thought a comic orangutan is the way to go for this film franchise. It could have gone ook, but I wouldn't have minded.
going with my usual remit of talking about anything except for the episode.
I forgot that was on.
TV show that I thought had a kind of... It was very well, in my opinion, very well directed. And Siri's talking to me. very well directed and very bright. And I know you associate Tim Burton usually with kind of gloomy and dark to a certain extent, but he does bright very well as well.
Yeah.
But it was a TV show that was out quite some time ago now called Pushing Daisies.
I love that show.
With Dana Freya.
Yeah.
It's Tim Burton fuel to it.
Yeah, it did.
In terms of it was beautifully shot.
Oh, that was so sharp.
Yeah. I absolutely adored that show. I can't believe it only two seasons.
Well, I can say, you know how good it was because no one got it and it only lasted two seasons, but it's well worth tracking down because it's fantastic.
Look
at it. Absolutely loved that.
Massage my people.
I'd forgotten his ear. That's a nifty little bit. Going, again, talking strictly about the episode we're watching because no one wants us to go off at tangents. I caught up with, I'm into series 3 of the original Star Trek, which is generally terrible. And I just watched the episode where Captain Kirk has to be done up as a Romulan with surgery on his ears and his eyebrows. And oh my God, it's terrible.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget how bad season 3 of Star Trek was. And that was probably the main reason it got cancelled.
Well, someone pointed out, because our listener was chatting to me about it, and she said, have you seen Spock's, have you watched the episode Spock's Brain, which is the first one in Series 3? And she said, just look out for his hair. And they do actually manage to do complete reconstructive brain surgery on Dr. Spock without mussing a hair on his head.
Oh, awesome.
Which is a good trick if you can do it.
It's the future.
I'm obviously his name is Dr. Spock.
Oh, sorry, yes, Mr. Spock. Dr. Spock. They probably did it to Dr. Spock too. It would explain the approach to childcare.
but I mean, again, you know, when you're talking about stuff like that, I still don't know how Star Trek The Next Generation got a third season.
Well, it did, didn't it end up in... It got to 6 in the end, didn't it?
It got to 7 in the
7,
end.
7, that's it, yeah.
To be honest, quality improved significantly. Well, season 2 wasn't terrible, but the quality improved significantly from season 3 onwards. But I'm surprised it got to that stage. And imagine if it hadn't. It more or less relaunched the entire franchise, didn't
it? Well, this is it. I mean, off the back of that, you got Voyager, you got DS9. Down the line, you've got Enterprise. Less said about that, the better. And then, of course, you get Discovery. You get all the films, and you get the relaunched films from the parallel universe. Yeah. And, yeah, if they'd binned that off on season 2... Sci-fi would never have been the same again.
Sorry, just come back to the episode. What was season 5, episode 11
of
of this? Was it Mr. Corden's first episode?
Roger, yeah.
Okay.
Why do you ask?
Sorry, I just read here that this was initially supposed to be without Rory and was supposed to be the 11th episode of the 5th series, but got scrapped from it. Which would make sense.
Because no one likes Rory? Why was Rory not in it?
Because Rory was dead at that point.
Rory was...
Oh, yeah.
Did Neil Gaiman not have to... was he not running late with the script? In season 5, Neil Gaiman was supposed to write a script, and so was Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry's never turned up, but Neil Gaiman's was moved to season 6.
Has Stephen Fry still never written his episode?
Stephen Fry's still never written his episode.
In that case, when the tax man comes a knocking to me in February, pointing out I still haven't sent in my tax return for whichever year I'm supposed to be doing it for, I can say to him, oh, yeah, well, Stephen Fry never handed in his episode. At least you're going to get mine before that happens. Ha! If that doesn't let me off the hook.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a week off work just to get that done. I really can't do it. I hate doing it. It's the advantage of having a proper job, so I haven't got to do it anymore.
An absolute. Oh, I am echoing. I hear it now, Laura.
Who's echoing?
I was echoing there. I heard myself twice. And it was bad enough the first time.
You know, we talked before about chemistry in the show and chemistry with stars and how good actors are and stuff.
Yeah.
Matt's got absolutely no chemistry here, but she is acting him off the screen.
Well, do you know, she's got enough chemistry for the two of them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. She's completely owning the part and doing a blinding job.
Context. Because, in terms of the kind of character, it actually works really well that she's got enough chemistry for the two of them.
Yes.
The nature of the relationship.
Yes.
So it's almost done on purpose, or
yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, no, if you could just stop acting, just forget everything you learned. But
Matt Smith is very good at chemistry, so to not have chemistry here seems to me like it was intended.
You tell yourself that,
yeah.
Matt with Karen, yes,
yep. Matt, everyone with River, yes.
Alex Kingston.
Yeah, but then Jenna Coleman, no.
No.
In the slightest.
Did we know that she's rocked up in that spiral on BBC One?
No. I don't know what spiral on BBC One is.
No, not spiral, sorry. Spiral's the parrot, the parrot one. Serpent. Serpent.
Yeah. I still don't know what it is.
I was thinking Jenna Coleman appearing in an Italian crime drama series.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. No. Well, funny enough, she is speaking a foreign language. It's some Christmas drama special BBC One thing, and I watched about 5 minutes of it, and she appeared on screen, and it was like, mother of God, I didn't know she was still acting, then I turned it off.
Michael Sheen.
Oh, yes.
Where?
Michael Sheen's the voice of
House, which is weird, because you think it'd be Hugh Laurie, but no.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Have I talked over Michael Sheen?
We've been mentioning for months in the 3 episodes we've done in that time about Michael Sheen coming up in this episode.
Yeah, Michael Sheen's the voice of House in this.
Ah, and we just talked over it. Brilliant. Well done, us.
It's not over yet.
I think it was used in the trailer. There's a conversation that's, I don't think it's come up yet because I have not been paying attention to this episode. It's still as a conversation house doctor about we'll talk about it as and when it appears, but it sent shivers up my spine when I saw it.
I admire your confidence. You think we'll be paying attention by then?
Yeah, it probably won't do it as much now on account of the fact that I'm not watching an episode and I'm relying on subtitles because I still haven't found my splitter so that we can both listen to.
You still haven't found your splitter?
No. Organ eater or something.
That sounds reasonable. Or the cat did. I take it we all watched Staged.
I've not watched it yet.
Yeah, the new season.
season two yet.
Come on, it's an hour out of your life. Get on with it.
They're all up now.
Do what?
Are they all up?
Yep, they're all on iPlayer.
I wanted to wait till they were all up.
Yeah. No, I watched them all. Watched them all over two nights.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I'll probably start tonight then. We just finished His Dark Materials yesterday, so.
Yeah, I can't get on with that. Didn't get on with that at all.
But it's, I really like the books, but there's something kind of lacking in this, but it's not as bad as The Golden Compass.
Possibly not, but it still didn't seem to grab me, I must admit. Well, it didn't seem to. It didn't grab me at all. And we just talked over him again.
We did. I thought season two was a lot better than season one, I will say that.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Was that?
He can't act, bless him. He really can't act. I don't know how he ever got a career in it.
Because he's the pretty one.
Oh, that was it.
Karen Gillan had to act, and Rory just saunters through based on his looks.
Thing is, I mean, it's harder than you think cruising through on your looks. I mean, I don't know how I've got this far in life other than my charm and good looks. But you know, you don't get the credit you deserve for the effort you put in. That's what I find. Everyone just looks at me and assumes I'm witty and funny and intelligent and smart because I look so nice. You know, there's a lot to live up to.
Preaching the choir.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, here we go. There's the spotty corridor.
Oh, do like a spotty corridor.
Part of the view. And then I appear at the party, so they don't hold my beer.
That's on my list of episodes I've never gone back and rewatched. Journey into the Centre of the TARDIS. I didn't enjoy it in the slightest, but my series 8, so that's not a surprise.
No.
Yeah, with a title like that, that should have been one of the best episodes in that season,
if not ever. Yeah. If not ever.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they have the other
And no, I kind of expected it to be something like the airy. Which is what you call Amy and Rory together. The airy portions of this episode is what I was expecting.
Yeah. She really is kind of channeling Helena Bonham Carter a bit, isn't she?
Yeah.
And doing it better than Helena.
I don't know if you remember after
that.
Neil Gaiman, showrunner. And then after the next one, Neil Gaiman wrote, they said, don't ever let him write for this show.
I think we should have Neil Gaiman as the Doctor. He'd be better than Chris Marshall. Are we going to talk about that, or are we not going to talk about it on the basis it hasn't been confirmed?
Hasn't been confirmed.
Right,
so
sort that one out. Can we talk about the fact that every time this rumour comes up, his agent sticks his name out there in the public domain straight away?
Every time.
The last time, just before it was announced that Peter Capaldi was leaving, Chris Marshall left Death in Paradise.
He did.
This is happening. I'm going to turn back to the UK. And then they're just like,
what? Even Chris Marshall believed him.
Yeah.
I mean,
what do you think?
I know Chris Marshall hasn't worked since Death in Paradise, but.
Do you remember when he drunkenly got run over in Bristol?
I wasn't there. I don't care what the rumours were. I was not. I mean, I looked the other way. But I was not driving the car that day, no matter what people tell you.
I remember that. Oh, 2008, it was bloody hell.
Was it 2008?
It was 2008, I'd forgotten that.
Because he was seriously ill and it was touch and go stuff, wasn't it?
Television star Chris Marshall is recovering head injuries, speaking by car. Yeah. He was in Bristol on a night out. I was right about every single part of that. Awesome.
And you have an alibi, do you?
I have my alibi is I don't drive, but then I don't drive as an excuse when someone's been hit by a car, because no. That means it's more likely.
Exactly. I don't think that's the alibi you're looking for.
I don't drive is probably better than I can't drive, because at least with don't drive, you're always kind of emphasising the fact that, it, you know,
But they ask questions like, well, why don't you drive? Did you have your license taken away from you for running over a popular... well, maybe not.
Yeah. a former BT actor.
We've lost Laura.
Oh, we have, haven't we? That's not a good point to freeze, Laura. I'll say that now.
I didn't freeze. I got kicked out because apparently Skype realised Chris Marshall.
So that sounds reasonable.
Talk about Donald Trump then. That's maybe the only platform he's still alive.
You can only find Chris Marshall on Skype.
He's even not allowed to play Mario Brothers anymore.
He's even not allowed to play Among Us.
It's shedded from that platform. That's not a platform.
Exciting thing happened today. I finished Day of the Tentacle.
Oh, well done.
What is it? Maybe it's a platform. Oh, Day of the Tentacle was brilliant. I remember it the first time round.
I think it's the remastered version, it's the original voices. And my mate played it and I sort of watched and I never really got to play it. So I got a hold of it. It's $7.99, I think, on Steam at the moment.
The original voice acting is appalling.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, it is.
It's awful.
But it was amazing at the time because no one else was doing it.
Yeah. I've got Grim Fandango on the iOS.
It's nice. Grim Fandango's good.
Yeah. Oh, I've not played that.
It's worth it. It's very... It's similar, but not.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I can
it's
go
less
that.
Pointy and clicky, but still with the same elements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's got a great story.
It's very good. And of course, there's the original Monkey Islands, which are just phenomenal.
Well, the UFO one I was talking about.
As in the first two, and not any of the others. Yeah.
For
the, whatever it's called, UFO game I mentioned to you, Laura, we were talking about?
XCOM.
XCOM.
Oh, I used to play XCOM as well.
Enemy Unknown was the one that you were explicitly referring to.
That's the one. Can't get it on the Mac. I've got XCOM 2, but it doesn't seem to play nicely on Steam. It keeps crashing on me.
Maybe it'll come back, you know.
There has been a remake.
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Kill Amy.
Die, Amy, yeah. Die. No, it's German. It says the Amy.
Yeah, that's Rory. Rory, because at this point everyone was conspiracy theorising, just said, why does Rory die nearly every episode?
You do realise that that basically was the forerunner of Parler.
There's not enough random shit being posted, like literal shit.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
No, unlike that, they've all just been blocked.
Yep. Google and Apple stepped in. Apparently someone's threatening to find an Apple, an Amazon server somewhere and blow it up just to show them, because Amazon won't have it on their platforms either.
More or less reinforcing the reason that they're being banned from these platforms.
It's almost...
We're going to commit an act of domestic terrorism on you. Right.
It's almost as if they can't quite see a correlation between action and consequence.
Yeah. It's just been a crazy cause. I will say it, and maybe, you know, maybe this isn't the place to be saying it, but it should have happened long before now.
Which bit? Tread carefully. I don't think we were waiting for them to storm the Capitol building.
Being banned from social media.
Oh, God, yeah, totally.
I won't mention names, but I think the fact that... you remember when people were taking the piss out of them on TikTok and his response was... To try and ban TikTok in America. Yep. So I think certain people on Twitter are probably too scared. And now that he's in the last 10 days, it seems a little too late. But,
yeah. Well, see, I think the problem was he had 80 million followers or whatever, which a lot of them were highly dubious.
Yeah.
And it dropped to 50 and it went back up to 80. Make of that what you will. But...
Recount. I demand a recount.
Oh, I would. They found another 1,700 under the sofa. But he should never have had continued access to his personal account while in office. He had two other accounts.
Yeah.
And he was running his personal account as an actual official statement from the big chair kind of thing. Yeah. And that's what should have been stopped from the off.
Yeah, for sure.
But no one's got the guts to stand up to him, and he's just basically a little toddler crybaby. If any Trump fans are listening to this, and I doubt that very likely, the guy you like's a twat. I stand by that. It's not a controversial view.
Ooh, edgy.
Do you know what? I don't think he's all there. Mic drop.
Rory's dead this time.
Controversial. Rory's not dead this time. Hang on. Whoa, is Morgan actually watching the episode? Shit.
Morgan's watching the episode. To the point of when she said he's dead this time.
That's
imagine gonna... just walking along with your eyes closed and somebody coming across a nude. Imagine a murderer. Yeah.
Yes, a murderer's nude.
Every time we see a nude on screen, I have to remind you of the fact that Morgan and Scott are eating spaghetti.
Yeah, every time. Yeah. I mean, is that the collective noun in the same way as crows for ood, a murder of oods?
A murder of ood.
Actually, yeah, are ood like sheep in many ways, but it's not oods, it's ood collective and singular.
A MacGuffin of ood.
Yeah.
MacGuffin of ood.
I refer to them, I pluralise them as ood, but I don't know if it is ood or oods.
It's...
Yeah, okay, Morgan has spoken. We'll go with that.
But then why is the episode not coming?
Morgan has spoken. Sorry.
Like the first oohood.
Reference being German for morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan is broken.
I think Morgan's been broken for a while. That's...
Smell of dust after rain.
That's really quite a nice, scary little...
It's a top.
How do they not recognise? Well, there might be a reason for that. We possibly weren't paying
attention. They're not going to recognise the fact that we're suddenly in... What's this saved thing?
Yep.
This isn't the tower. This is that we know and love. Apparently this was up for 18 months, this entire set.
Just for this episode?
Waiting to be used for this episode. Which... Bear in mind, it got destroyed at the end of time.
Yep.
Means they had to piece it together simply for this shit.
Yeah.
Did no one think to shut the
door? I like this.
Did no one think to shut the door?
We did that today.
I'm quite liking the sound bleed. At least I can vaguely see what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you make it
assimilated into.
How do you get a green ood to be the scary ood? Surely the red ood is the scary ood. A green ood is like green kryptonite. It's good.
We're back onto Luigi and Mario again.
We are, aren't we? Yes.
Green kryptonite's not good,
isn't it?
Yeah, Superman.
Oh yeah, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Maybe pretty sure it was a horse.
a horse made of kryptonite.
Yeah, exactly what it was. Yeah.
The green colouring in this, it looks kind of like almost like an illness. It looks like it's just kind of.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, comparing and contrasting so close together. Modern episodes in inverted commas. I know it's all modern, but. The most recent episode against a retro episode, as this kind of is in New Who, because the colouring was far starker and has been far starker in the Chibnall era, mm-hmm. especially in the New Year one. There's very clear demarcations of colour.
Yeah.
Whereas this era tends to be more bleed going on.
Mm-hmm.
And far more gurning.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking Capaldi is the only recent Doctor I can think of who doesn't gurn.
That's true, actually. I say no, Jodie doesn't gurn so much. She just kind of...
She does, but she's channeling talent, she gurns.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But no, Capaldi was not for gurning. Ooh. Hello, he's getting...
I like how we both ignored that. That was lovely.
Mine's the one with the food in or the ood in.
Yeah. What's that plot point for a couple of episodes' time? how convenient. I'm sure that this entire scene is totally meaningless in the whole scheme of the episode and the series.
Yeah, completely. It has absolutely no bearing on anything. There is no story arc. I think that's right.
Just remember, there was no story arc in season 11.
That's true. I don't particularly like it when he does that activate sub-program or sub-routine or blah, 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 as if the whole thing is the whole point of the TARDIS is it's not a carefully programmed piece of equipment. It's a random collection of electrodes and diodes, and anything could happen and doesn't happen. And I don't like that you can suddenly go activate this program and the defense protocol in the hologram thinking, no, that's not TARDIS-y for me.
But even when it does it, it still seems like it's been cobbled together somehow. So
well, that's true. Yeah, it certainly works on that context, but I just don't like the idea that the TARDIS is actually a finely tuned piece of machinery. It's a bit too Star Trek-y. Are you sure this is Michael Sheen? Because surely that would mean this is David Tennant, and that's very confusing.
That's the line that I really liked, was when House says, "Fear me, I've killed hundreds of Time Lords."
Fear me, I've killed them all.
which I thought was a cracking line, and they used it trailer for season 6, and I was just like, that is amazing, because, again, just brilliant without context. Bloody hell, what is this?
Bloody hell.
Thanks, Morgan.
Here comes the doctor filibustering.
Yep.
Here we go. We'll just keep on talking just for a little bit longer.
This is Ted Cruz or Mitch McConnell playing the doctor, isn't it?
God, can you imagine?
Can I not? Ted Cruz is the doctor suddenly going, yeah, but they're only Nazis, it's fine. There's a lot of regeneration energy in this series, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah, it happens more in season 6 than any other season, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the effects are good. It feels a little bit like they're preparing it for it to go out on a 3D Blu-ray, but didn't happen.
Music's kicking in.
Right, well, you don't need to start long.
Ooh.
Oh, we're there.
She looks a bit like Kylie from the
yeah.
Thingy episode.
Astrid, you mean? Astrid.
Astrid.
An anagram of TARDIS. That. What are the odds?
Absolutely nuts before that episode aired. What's an anagram of TARDIS? That means she must be the Rani.
Everyone's the Rani. Did you know that in order to hide Captain Jack in the script for the New Year's Day thing, they changed his name in the script to an anagram of Rose Tyler. I can't remember what it was now, but
Did they?
Yeah, apparently.
And then announced him anyway. So yeah. What was the point?
I just thought Rose Tyler looks like it could be an anagram of arsehole almost.
Rose Tyler is actually an anagram of bad teeth job.
Yeah. Which was the original story arc for season 1.
Trying to get her back to the dentist to get the veneers removed.
Yep. But it was really strange because it was pretty much the worst kept secret in history that Jack was going to be back for New Year.
Yeah, totally.
Was it Leroy something? Because Leroy's the only thing I can think that's going to have a decent anagram. Leroy something.
It wasn't something because something doesn't work.
Leroy Tries is literally the only one I can get. No. No, even that doesn't work. Fucking hell. Sorry. I've gone off on an anagram tangent.
I feel like you're not paying enough concentration on the final bit of the episode where he's wearing his goggles and sitting in his swing.
Again, the whole tone and feel of this episode is so different from anything they've really done before.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it fits the run of the series, does it?
No, it would have felt better had it been in series 5. Because then we probably wouldn't have got closing time in series 6.
That'd have been tragic.
Oh, can you imagine? That's a proper butterfly effect thing, isn't it? The butterfly effect is, because Neil Gaiman was late with his script, James Corden got to work in America on a chat show. That's the ultimate part of this, isn't it?
That one.
John Barrowman can't actually remember what it was.
Well, the only thing I can think is Leroy Rest or Leroy Erst or something like that. Leroy Strur.
Sor Rylett.
Rylan?
Sor Rylett. No, definitely not Rylan. That's not bring
it. I should have shared the story then. I'd have known what I was talking about. I just sort of half read it on Facebook today. Which is pretty much everything I do.
Maybe the anagram of Rose Tyler was Taylor Rose.
Ah, much like...
That's genius.
There's this...
one of my teachers are called Rose Tyler.
One of your teachers is called Rose Tyler? That's quite cool.
There's a new guy on Twitter at the moment called Donald Trump. I don't know if you've heard it. He's got quite a few followers already, mainly Russian.
Morgan just imparted quite an interesting fact there. One of our school teachers is called Rose Tyler.
That is pretty cool.
Is she old or young?
I think she's about 28, 29.
28, 29?
Well, bloody hell.
Apparently they were hiding him in cloaks. They were cloaking him in black cloaks and whatever when he was filming in Bristol as well, so no one would know.
But is that not just so they wouldn't get constantly naked around other cast members?
Well, that's almost certainly far more likely, yes. It's just, wear this and no one can see you. Is that why it is? Yes, Jack. Just put this on.
Just get ropes, flares of ropes put on them.
Oh, Lord. This next episode is mad as badgers. Actually, we're not doing that next episode, are we?
We're not doing this two-part, so we're going straight on to killing Hitler.
We are, aren't we? Which, by the way, spoiler alert...
No, good man, and then let's go here.
Yeah, spoiler alert, the Let's Kill Hitler episode features Nazis. I know this because the iPlayer description first word is Nazis with an exclamation mark, just in case you weren't sure.
Dyslexic person talking about Yahtzee.
there's only really one thing we can mention from that the following episode that is relevant to what happens in the half season finale, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that's. It would be nice. I don't know whether it helped that they mentioned the whole thing about the whole flesh avatar thing when they did. Or whether it should have been earlier in the series. But it's kind of like, just like, oh, yes, we've got this idea of flesh avatars. It's absolutely lovely. And then in the following episode, flesh avatars, aren't they great? And then the end of the episode, everything you were told before the last 5 episodes was a lie. I mean, I don't know if I've heard that kind of thing before. But...
See, I wonder if that's where we're heading with...
With where we are now.
Whether the whole thing, the time as child, and I've been lied to, and no one done it, it's all complete bollocks, and actually it'll turn out to have been a cunning ploy by you know who.
You mean Chris Chibnall, and the cunning plan was to upset as many people as possible for no reason whatsoever.
And it worked. It's brilliant. I don't know. Did we know this? I don't know. It's never come up, and I don't think we did. You know, we joke a lot about the fact that you can only have a Dalek if Terry Nation says so.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Ood were very, very specifically created by Russell T. Davis? To the point that that's credited at the end of that episode.
I don't know.
The Ood created by Russell T. Davis. It says and Ood, whenever.
It says Ood created by Russell T. Davis.
Oh my God, so 60 years' time.
Yep, 60 years' time. You'll have to get special sign-off to have an Ood episode.
I think and people will start saying, well, yeah, no, there's a guarantee that you'd have at least one Ood episode per year. that was in a contract.
Yeah. Yeah, New Year's Eve special would be Dalek and Ood from now on.
Oh, can you imagine Daleks versus the Oods?
I don't actually think it's the same kind of deal. I think it was almost like they specifically just wanted to acknowledge the fact that a previous showrunner had created these characters. I don't think, you know, I don't think...
We can do this thing too! I created this thing! Stephen's got his angels, I've got my Ood.
I've gone back to the New Year special and see if they mentioned that the Ood were created by Russell T. Davis, the Weeping Angel was. Because the Weeping Angels and the Silence are both in it.
That's true, but I don't think Moffat's ever really been that asked about claiming credit for it. Although it's still in the box, I will go back and check. Right, so there we were. That was what the hell was the episode called?
That was The Doctor's Wife. That was literally an entire episode based around trying to take the plug out of something and plug it back in again.
That was the ultimate IT episode, isn't it? It really was.
It really was. I really liked that episode, but I'm going to be honest, that's one of the episodes I watch an awful lot, so... I think I know it anyway.
Yeah. I kind of feel like you could easily forget that Matt Smith is in that episode.
Oh, yes. It's the Saran Jones show.
Saran Jones show. And Karen Gillan steps up and steals her scenes as well.
It's almost the one person who doesn't steal their scenes is Michael Sheen, because it's just like, well, you're just being a
voice.
You're a disembodied voice.
Yeah. I mean, there's
not a lot you can do with that. It would have been amazing had he decided to portray the role of House as Brian Clough. That would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah, that would have been good. Or even David Frost. David Frost would have been good.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yes. And then towards the end, you could have merged the two and had some sort of fractal breakdown of character. So you actually had half a sentence of Frost and half a sentence as Clough. That would be amazing. And then Tony Blair comes in.
You do actually wonder why they went with me. You know, it's like, oh, this is Michael Sheen, blah, blah, blah. When in actual fact, they could have pretty much get anyone to come in and go, I am doing this.
Well, this is it. If you hadn't told me it was.
They could have had anyone and then kept Michael Sheen for a role in which he would actually be on screen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That would have been much better. Because to be honest, if you hadn't told me it was him, I didn't know it was him. And you can't tell it's him. It's just someone doing a slightly deep voice.
They do pretty much do the same thing again in The Snowman with Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, but that's just a big grab. That's not somebody who's ever really going to be as part of a Doctor Who for a regular episode. I think that's going to be more of a favour.
Yeah.
That's someone who's been a fan of the series and just wants to maybe get involved. They've just thought, do you have a position for us somewhere down the road, Stephen? Well, yes, I've got the role of effectively the Grace Intelligence, you like snow, so I'm told, Mr. McKellen, you like a bit of snow,
yeah.
and you can just come do that. I think it's a different kind of deal with Ian McKellen. That's just at the arse end of his career. Like, he doesn't need to actually feature in the show, but it's a nice pull for the producers for Christmas. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with that, but again, there's the fact that you're just thinking, why do it when you could have pretty much, would the episode have been diminished anyway if it had been, you know, like a parallel universe where they just got James McGonigal from Four Streets Down the Road to be the voice of the Great Intelligence,
love Four Streets Down the Road, though. It's a fucking brilliant show.
What's that?
I love Four Streets Down the Road. It's a brilliant show. And he was ace in it as well. I know what you're saying, but it's a nice pull for a Christmas episode because that's what the money's going to be, and you want eyes on the product on that day. And I think maybe Moffat didn't have that much faith in the script, which is weird because it's a snowman and it's a great episode.
Mm.
And Richard E. Grant's in it as well.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, do you think they didn't think far enough ahead and they decided to piss away Michael Sheen now to avoid any possibility of him coming back and being the Doctor later?
According to what I read earlier on, that episode, that the character of House was originally supposed to have been the Great Intelligence. So then you have to wonder, was somebody already in mind to be playing the Great Intelligence further down the road?
And they weren't available.
And they were unavailable.
Yeah, that would make sense. But then you could have had Michael Sheen to play the Great Intelligence down the road, and maybe he then wasn't available.
Michael Sheen playing the Great Intelligence. So many
wormholes we could go tunnelling down.
There are. Let's be honest. Chris Marshall could have played the Great Intelligence. House.
What an oxymoron.
It's just crazy.
Look, it's not his fault. He didn't see the car coming. Can't stop judging the guy.
He didn't see Laura. He didn't see Laura flying down.
Lights flashing in the stolen police car.
Yeah, that was me. I mean, I'll admit it on this podcast right now for anyone listening.
To be fair, you're perfectly safe. No one listens. You're good.
I was in Bristol on the 27th of April 2008. I was down there for some reason. No idea why.
To paraphrase Monty Python, I was that taxi driver.
How much is Chris Marshall worth? He is worth $2 million.
Really?
Why did Chris Marshall quit Death in Paradise? He was becoming a bit too Caribbean. How long was Chris Marshall in Death in Paradise? 30 episodes, really?
Really? I'm trying to now imagine Chris Marshall being a bit too Caribbean, given the fact that he was the whitest thing in the show.
Oh yeah.
How could he have been remotely Caribbean?
Why Chris Marshall left My Family? He left the series after season 4, and it was reported he wanted to play a character who was his own age.
He was playing a character his own age. He was quite young in My Family. I mean, let's not forget, of course, he did manage to break into the big blockbuster Hollywood movies.
Oh yeah, well, he was in what's it before that, wasn't he?
Why did you pluralise that?
I was being kind. He's basically.
He was in Love Actually, was he?
He's in Love Actually, and that's it. That's the extent of his big screen roles.
When you were talking about how much he must have been
dead.
Down in
that car. Nah, see, I think the car accident affected his career as well as his brain. It did happen a rather unfortunate career time. So I think we can thank Laura for that as well.
Maybe something quite meta happened, and it was from someone from a kind of future now aborted timeline that we're about to stop and become.
Someone went back to 2008 and go, "You're not being a fucking doctor." Boot.
We don't need to kill him. We just need to really hurt him.
Well, that's probably the way around it, you see, because the old thing is, can you go back and kill Hitler? Well, no, there will be ramifications, there will be knock-on effects. So you can't go back and kill Chris Marshall, because you'll change an awful lot of other people's careers. But if you just maim him slightly at a less important moment in his life, major shows aren't affected. He recovers in time to carry on going to live in the Caribbean for 3 years, but he avoids being Doctor Who. That's absolutely genius. Right, so shall we... I quite fancy reconvening on Tuesday. How are we for Tuesday?
In 2 days' time.
I know.
Are you mad?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Work may be an issue, but I'll scream and shout and just get out of it. I shall keep you posted.
Okay, Tuesday's fine. Is there football on Wednesday? Is that what it is? Is that what it is?
No, we are. Oh, yeah. On that note, can we, do you want to possibly look at doing Tuesday and Thursday? Because Sunday might be...
Sunday, Tuesday, then Thursday.
And then we get a few days.
John wants to say something.
I wasn't sure if you could hear me. I can't do Tuesday.
Oh, that screws that one then.
I've got a gig. Woo!
You got a what?
Oh my God, the retired comedian has another gig, which is now about six or seven more than me.
Yeah. How have you given up comedy and you're gigging more than the pair of us and we're still, in theory, active?
I know, but I mean, it's more quantity than quality, though, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's just, you know, that's the standard male approach to sex, isn't it? So that's fine.
Oh, God, that reminds me, I've got another pun thing in 2 weeks.
Oh, dear.
I've got to go and do another pun thing, fine, because I do believe that did we not do one of these immediately afterwards last time?
Yes, we did.
We did.
And we will again. Do you need us to write your jokes for you again? I genuinely think people heard that look.
Yeah.
I am scared right now. I won't lie. I am scared.
Especially if you release these with, you know, when you get the kind of, I can't remember, they sometimes do it in shows and they've got the audio description of stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
And you could probably get Michael Sheen in to say, Lord,
and I couldn't see what I was doing there. I have a horrible feeling that when I took my glasses off and I came really, really close to you then, that you just got to be close up at the bridge of my nose. Did that happen?
Well, that was obviously part of the equation because your whole face moved closer to the camera. But we mainly got a very, very, very stern look. We got your that look without the glasses on. We got that stern look.
I'll send that to you.
Right, on that note, I have been put in my place. I have been told off. I'm going to go and get some food and some drink. We will reconvene at some point when John is busy gigging.
Okay, I can Thursday.
Okay, Thursday's fine.
Yeah. We could maybe even do back-to-backs Wednesday and Thursday and get ahead of ourselves.
Wednesday and Thursday?
Let's get our diaries out.
Because everybody loves this on-air admin.
They do, don't they? It's a whole important part of the thing.
It's fucking wonderful as part of any live performance.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like to end a gig with who's available for the next one?
I have been to many open mics where the last thing is said, if you want to book for next one, just get in there. Seen it.
Yeah, but thankfully John doesn't run that gig anymore. In the meantime, it has been an absolute pleasure to be back in the company of these fine idiots. And over there looking stern as ever in a rather nice dapper hat is Laura Monmouth.
See you later.
And over there grinning like an idiot because he's got a gig and we haven't is John Carruthers. And we will see you when we see you and we'll work that out without you having to listen to us. In the meantime, it's been us, it's been you, it's been great. Goodbye.